everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on, and we ask them to tell two stories. One is a truth and one is a lie. So it's a podcast and a game show. And we hope you guys stick around and play the game with us. Jessica? Wow! Okay. Now I was trying to be unprofessional.
I don't know if I can match that. Okay. To my left, this gentleman right here, who's usually a much snappy dresser. I will let you know that. He is an actor, a hilarious comedian. He's been booking commercials. He is killing it out there in the game. Mr. Willie Mack.
Hey, what's
Yay.
Going on?
Welcome to the show, Willie. Welcome.
Liars Club.
That's right.
And in front of me, this gentleman, I am over the moon to have you here. He is a singer, actor. He's just written a book. It's called In a Prior Life. His father is a living legend here, especially here at the Comedy Store. This is Mr. Richard Pryor Jr.
Yay.
What's up?
I am so stoked that you are here because it's like I tell everybody all the time, you know, Richard Pryor Jr. was a door guy here. Richard Pryor Jr. was a door guy here. I do that, right?
She does. Yeah, she's told me like five times, like, yes, you told me.
Yeah. No, he was a door guy here. And I'm so excited that you're here because I have many questions. And I remember when you were a door guy here, what years were those?
Oh, my God. It was in the mid-80s.
Yeah, 85.
Yeah, 85, 86, 87.
Yeah.
Wait, and now, you were doing comedy. What was it like if you were, you know, and there's an audience and all of a sudden they call, please welcome to the stage, Richard Pryor.
It Junior. Sucked ass. It was horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was horrible.
Was it weird to come to work and your dad was here? Was that odd? Not weird in a bad way, but just like, you know.
It was a little strange because you get where people don't know how to treat you.
Uh-huh.
So you just want to be one of the dudes that works the door and may occasionally get up on stage and do a set. And when your dad's there, their attitudes are totally different.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I'm their best buddy, and you know.
Well, as soon as he leaves.
Yeah. And now they're not giving me cocaine. And, you know, so
right.
Yeah.
Wow. And what did your dad think of your stand up? Did you guys have like really intimate conversations about that?
Well, we had a couple conversations. One of the persons that really helped me out a lot as far as to be myself was Argus.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, he helped me out a lot, and my dad would tell me just to be who I am.
Uh-huh.
But when you have that name and you're on stage and performing, it's very hard to be that, because if you're not doing like your dad does, you're horrible. Mm. And if you're doing like your dad, then you're trying to be him.
Right.
So there was a no-win situation with me.
Well, I had this friend who his father was Buddy Hackett. That's an old school comedian from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. And he did comedy. His name was Sandy Hackett. And he did comedy for a while. And he actually did on stage one of his dad's most famous bits, which was called the Chinese waiter bit. And then everyone would give him such a rash of shit. Did your dad ever say, you might want to take a little bit of my material over here? Did your dad ever do that?
No, he never pushed me into anything. It was like whatever I wanted to do it. But if I was going to do it, I was going to be doing it on my own.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
Bastard.
I think a lot about, since we're talking about this, about Tony Rock, because, you know, his brother is Chris Rock, and Tony Rock is a stand-up in his own right and so incredibly funny, and it's so wildly different, the style of comedy.
He really is.
Yeah. And to overcome that, the years it took to kind of overcome that, and he's an amazing stand-up.
I've never heard of him.
Yeah, he's an awesome stand-up. But how long did you actually do stand-up comedy for?
I did stand-up the time I was working here, and then when I left, that left.
Uh-huh.
So it was like, I'm not going to do this again.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, and I think also you did with fear. When you have fear and, you know, a father who's iconic and all that stuff is like, I can't do this. No way I can live up to that.
Yeah.
So,
right.
You know, I was like, oh, okay, I'll do some plays and I'll do comedy. Because I used to do improv upstairs in the belly room.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, those things were fun to me, but to be there by myself and just to stand there with nothing, it was like,
yeah,
it was too difficult.
too difficult. Wow. Thank you, though, again for coming in. And let's get this out of the way. You wrote a book, and right. It's called In a Prior Life. We have the link up on the YouTube page. If anybody wants to go and find it, please do. I'm sure there's so many amazing stories in it. How long did it take you to write this book or come up with the idea of doing it and executing it?
I tried to write it back in the early 2000s and couldn't do it. 2006, I tried again and couldn't do it. And by 2015, I got serious and really said, I need to do this.
Yeah.
So I started then. It took about a year and a half and 2.5 years altogether with all the back and forth, you know, right. First drafts and all that kind of stuff. So I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that's yeah. Amazing. I hope people go out and order it if you can. But let's start the game. Are you excited, Willie?
Wait. Oh, yeah. Willie, how long have you been doing stand-up?
Yeah.
I've been doing stand-up.
Okay, whatever. Let's start the game.
I turned my attention to him, Jessica.
I've been doing stand-up for 8 years, but I do have a couple questions for... Can I ask
please,
you? Can I,
please.
Absolutely.
Did you feel pressured to do stand-up because of who your father was?
I didn't feel pressure from people. I felt pressure from myself.
Yeah.
To do stand-up. Because right. It was like you feel like, this is what I should do.
Mm-hmm.
When in actuality, what it was that the performing and all that aspect of whatever I would do... That was a part of me.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily that I had to do stand-up, but I knew I was supposed to be a performer. Mm-hmm. And I didn't figure that out until.
And did you have I know it wasn't typical as far as your life was concerned, but your father does seem like he had some really hard, crazy times.
Mm-hmm.
And did you have it as, you didn't have it quite as bad, did you? Or I'm just curious.
Oh, yeah, definitely in the book. That's why I wrote the book, because it's like how parallel our lives were.
Really?
I went through the exact same things he did.
Oh, that's interesting. I'm going to have to read that.
And
sure.
You spent most of your childhood in Illinois?
Yeah, Peoria, Illinois.
Peoria. And did you spend any time in L.A.? Or?
Oh, yeah. I would come out during the summers or holiday and, you know, used to introduce him on stage when I was younger.
Aww. You know, as a kid?
Yeah, as a kid. Adorable. Yeah. And then after high school, that's when I moved out here and uh-huh. was like, oh, I'm going to stay out here. And yeah.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Any other questions, Willie?
Just one last.
Ask away.
Because I'm curious.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I'm starting to be in that circle of the next generation of different, like, I'm good friends with Damon Wayans Jr. and like J.D. Witherspoon Jr. And one thing that, because they're in that same boat where they don't want to necessarily branch off their father's name, so they're making their own name. Like Damon Wayans Jr. goes by Damon Jr. And when someone's about to announce them, they're like, we're gonna say Damon Wayans Jr. He's like, no, just say Damon Jr. because I don't want people to think this is
preconceived notions.
Yeah, even with JD, they're like, just bring me up as JD or whatever. It's like, so just even from your peers, like, because I didn't know who these two, I'm like, y'all look familiar. Then when I found out their real last names and whatever.
Don't you think it'd be a little bit easier for the weigh-ins just because they're known to have a funny family?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a little easier because they've got so many that have been on TV and comedians.
Mm-hmm.
It would be a little easier to be a weigh-in.
It's definitely easier. Because they help them, like, they're writing, they're directing, so they're all, like, very collectively, like, helpful to each other no
That's
matter
like
what it is.
That's like the only black family that does that in the world.
It's because it's the only black family that has that much power, really.
Yeah. But they stuck together prior to that in order to do that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It came from somewhere.
Yeah.
Where you've got black communities and families are so fragmented, there's not, in our community, nobody sticks together, period.
Mm-hmm.
So to see that... And you knew that when you saw, like, in Living Color and all that, even when they were doing stand-up here back in the
80s. Oh, yeah.
They were always a nucleus.
Together.
It was always.
Really?
Yeah, it was always a thing with them. So
I will tell you this. Back in the 80s, if you had a spot behind Damon Wayans, you were like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Damn, right? Remember that? Oh, yeah. He would be on stage. He gave no shits for 45 minutes. He would go behind the curtain and do, like, 40 minutes on him being the invisible comedian. Do you ever
remember that?
I remember
that.
Yes.
Yeah.
You were like, oh, my God.
Really?
Oh, I'm never going to go on. It was terrible.
Yeah.
It was awesome at the same time, but it was just like, you know, if you were on after him, it became kind of a little bit of
crazy.
A misery, but such a talented guy.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's start it then. So we're going to move on to the game part of the show, and I think, Willie, you should go first.
Ooh.
And you'll go, and then Richard will go, and then you, and then Richard, and then at the end, we'll vote and see which one is the lie. We'll ask questions. Please don't be thrown by that while you're telling the story, because sometimes we don't understand a certain part of it, so we just want to clarify.
Okay.
And also, our on-air producer here is Austin Walker today. And,
glad to be here.
He's happy to be here, and we're happy to have him. And all right, so go ahead.
I asked a lot of questions to Richard Pryor Jr. because I understood the struggles of like having this father and something, because my dad right now owns five churches in St. Louis.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, and people always suspected me to be like, oh, you're going to be a pastor too, because I'm a junior as well. And they're like, you're going to be a pastor. I went away from St. Louis. Like, I came to L.A. because I didn't want to follow down my dad's path. But it's interesting, this parallel where I'm getting at is that my dad now, pastor five churches, but in the 70s, he ran heroin from Los Angeles to Seattle. My dad used to be a really big drug dealer.
How can you be a pastor at five churches?
Well, he establishes them in like different parts of the community. Like, there's like not a church in, like, let's say South St. Louis, so he'll build that church up and he'll pastor there sometimes, but he'll let like one of the local pastors or one of his congregations preach there most.
And he owns it? You can own a church?
Yeah, you can own a church. It's like a, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say it like, yeah, duh.
Yeah, you can own a church. You can definitely own a church.
I mean, a church
and do
is,
they have the same name? Like,
no, it was like Brotherly Love, River of Life, then whatever, Revival Temple. I mean, you shouldn't, but but there are a lot of people that do it for the business aspects of it. Like, I used to use my dad's tax ID number all the time.
Yeah. Ooh.
You did?
Oh, did do. My dad, like, because I flip homes as well. Uh-huh. So I take my dad's tax ID number and go to, like, Home Depot and stuff like that, so I don't have to pay taxes on, like, a washer or a roofing
right.
and all this other stuff.
But what about if I hashtag this IRS?
That
this
would
episode.
Suck. Then,
please don't. I'm pretty sure they're after me.
Okay. Did you ever get any details about the days of him?
And obviously, yeah, and obviously it was before you were born.
This was right before I was born.
Uh-huh.
So details as in, like, yeah, I have details.
Well, dish.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, I'm gonna give a decent amount of details, so not just like, because there might be some. Here's why I say this might be incriminating sometimes, because there was this one time because I was on this show called College Hill on BET. It was like the BET version of The Real World.
Uh-huh.
And on that show, I showed a picture of my dad because they wanted to do some background mm-hmm. stuff. So it's like, I'm like, hey, it's a picture of my dad, whatever. And one of my dad's coworkers went to go speak to him, and I was like, oh, we seen you on TV. And my dad said, that's not my life anymore. Because my dad thought right. he was on America's Most Wanted. And then I guess that coworker was confused. Because my dad had...
Well, you didn't show a picture of him, like, with track marks in his arm or anything. It was just a normal picture, right?
It was just a normal picture to them. They just came to my dad like, hey, we seen you on TV. And he's like, oh, snap, look. That's, I don't know, whatever. Like,
yeah.
So he kind of like threw folks off.
Isn't there a statute of limitations or anything, though?
I don't know how. I mean, whether it's a statute of limitations or not, it's still nerve wracking when someone says, like, I just seen you on TV.
There's no statute. It's not rape.
All right.
I'm about to be like, that's awful.
Right, weirdo. Way to bring it down. So what made your father stop selling drugs? Was there a significant event that happened?
So my dad was driving to Oakland to, I guess, maybe to murder someone.
Uh-huh.
And
really?
Yeah. My dad had a sawed-off shotgun. It's all these. Yeah. Anyways.
In California?
In California.
Okay.
And he went to, yeah, California. He was going up to Oakland. And
I just feel like Oakland is a pistol
city. Oakland is rough.
Oakland.
Yeah, Oakland's
pistol
rough.
City.
Pistol city.
Let me leave my shotgun here. This city limits right there.
What? What? And they only hold guns like that? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, just for, you know, to get around, you know, it's probably easier to have a pistol. It's a city.
Yeah, but a sawed-off shotgun isn't very big, right?
And then I guess he went there and something happened. I don't know what happened because he never fully told me the story. I'm hearing stuff like through my uncles.
Cause uh-huh.
It's not like I ever sat down like, Dad, tell me about that time.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Ask my dad why.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My dad gets a phone call because my uncles was in Arkansas. Now, I guess my uncles got into some trouble down there, so my dad went back to Arkansas to go help his brothers out. So while he was there, my dad likes to smoke weed while listening to church sermons.
He's still like, does that today?
No, he doesn't still do that today.
Oh, he does.
No. Just in case any members listening to the Liars Club, my dad, Pastor Mac, doesn't do that anymore. So he used to listen. He said because they were like fun stories to him. So he would like smoke weed. And he said one day he went, he was smoking weed at my grandma's house, listening to a sermon, and Pastor Hill walks in and says, like, just surprises him. Like, some pastor just came by to the house to meet my grandma, and my dad hurried up and put the joint on. I said, man, you scared me. I didn't see you coming. And he told my dad, it's like, look, that's how God is going to come to you, whatever. He's going to come in a way that's not going to be very suspecting. Ooh. You're not going to see it coming. So my dad decided to go to church with Pastor Hill. While he's at church with Pastor Hill, he meets this choir member named Minerva, who is my mom. And he wants to impress her. They got together. They end up having sex. And I came out. So that is. So then
you sent your dad on the straight and narrow.
My mom did. I don't know how much I set him on the straight and narrow, but yeah, my mom came through. And
what year were you born?
85.
Oh God, that was so close.
He did.
I just think it was 85, like a big year for heroin.
So what era was heroin?
Heroin was
seventies.
Seventies definitely.
More seventies, and then like when in the nineties, when when like all the music from grunge and Seattle and Portland came, then it kind of had a resurgence.
And there was always resurgence heroin. Now.
Yeah,
yes,
like,
there is.
Yeah, Mr. Bills, there is. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's
so tell your dad if he wants to get back in the biz.
if the church has failed.
Is he hiring? Because looking for a gig myself.
Oh my goodness, y'all are ridiculous. But there is a year gap. Like my mom and dad got married in 81. So it's not like boom, boom. It was more like 81 they got married and then I was born.
And did your mom know of your father's job? Path? Yeah. What he did?
I don't know, but I found a tin can because I was one of those kids. I don't know that you all do this, but like when y'all was in, y'all treasure find stuff at your parents' house. So I found this golden tin can. And in there was all old love letters from my mom and dad when they used to write each other. Because my mom was a virgin before she met my dad.
So they tell you.
Wow. So they tell me. So, well, at least
you
in
know
this.
What, Jessica?
If a
man says his mother was a virgin.
I know.
She is really on that, isn't she?
Bust his balls on that.
It's not possible.
Doesn't bust his balls on any of the heroin topics, but your mom is not a virgin. Pull it together.
I seen videos of your mom, Willie.
No.
But I read letters, their old love letters and stuff that they used to send each other.
Uh-huh.
And nah, they've lived a very funny little cute. It was one of those cute storyboard lives. Like, I can't even imagine, I guess, at this age and millennials, like thinking of writing a full letter and sending it in the mail and then just waiting, what, a couple few days or however long?
I think about that all the time. Like when people sexed, like when I was a kid, if you wanted to show your body to some guy, you had to save up to buy a camera and then you had to take your bicycle. And after you took the picture of yourself, you had to light it correctly and hope it worked out. Then you had to get on your bicycle.
By then
go down
you
to
turned
the
35 and nobody wants a picture.
It took 2 months to send a sexy picture.
I do have a question from the interwebs for Willie.
Mm-hmm.
Did your dad ever get arrested or anything regarding the drug charges?
My dad did not get arrested, but my uncles did. They were in jail, and that was part of the reason why my dad came from Los Angeles.
Back down to Arkansas.
So...
Wow, and who asked that question?
That was our good friend Leah,
number one fan.
Hey. Bartow, Florida, representing.
Welcome back. All right, well, that's a first great story.
Hey,
yeah, we like
really
it.
Really good.
Now let's move over to Richard. What you got?
Ooh, I'm trying to like, should I tell these
stories? Does your dad do drugs?
Oh, that's hilarious.
His face went through three different emotions.
You should have just picked up the drink and threw it in his face.
So, when I was working here,
do it, do it,
yeah.
Do it.
Okay.
So when I was working here, I hung around with Sam Kinison a lot and different things, the comics over here. He kind of like was from my, he was from my same town. So when I came here and everything, I was pretty much like staying in my car and all that kind of stuff. And he kind of took me under his wings and got me coke and all that kind of stuff so I could get high. And there was one time when it was a comic and it was the, a couple of the Wayans were here. Carla Bo, and someone else, I can't remember who it was, and this other comic were here, and I remember we did so much coke, and
don't name names. I'm never gonna people are injured in this story.
I'm not gonna name. That's why I'm thinking how I'm gonna say this.
Okay.
So, I was in the bathroom.
Which bathroom?
This one right here.
Okay, the one in the
hallway. One that used to be the singles.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doing some blow off the toilet thing.
Which is a black toilet. They made it for that.
Yes. And in comes a comic. We start talking, doing some blow. And I end up giving this comic a blowjob in the stall. And then after that, they were started with the name calling, like, you know, you faggot and all this kind of stuff. And they went up to the house that was up, used to, I don't know if it's still up there, the house that Mitzi had.
The comic you gave a blowjob to? Called you names?
Yeah.
After the blowjob?
Well, that's happened to me a lot, where we were, you know, straight guys are just, straight guys are.
Story.
Really?
Do you remember that? But it was a few, it was years later, it would have been years after you.
That right. was, I was just thinking about that episode. That
Who was that?
Oh, keep going, I'm going to remember that.
So, so there was a house up there that Mitzi used to own and everything. He used to say it was Raymond Burr's and all this kind of stuff. A lot of comics hung around it.
Yeah.
And so we were up there, and then comes this other car speeding around up there, and it's them. And Sam's up there with me, and there's Carl and everything. And then they're wanting to fight. And Sam starts arguing with these guys, which were the Wayan brothers, and arguing with them and everything. And Sam is, like, doing these, like, I've never seen Sam move so fast because he was one of the smallest kind of guy.
Yeah.
But he's doing like all these like kung fu, like he's doing all these kung fu kicks and like the spins and all this kind of, you know, they're going to mess with me, motherfucker, you know, and they're like arguing in the middle of the street and they're like screaming and hollering. It was like the police were called and everything. So then we got in Sam's car. That's when he had like, I think it was red. I believe it was red.
A red
car.
Corvette.
Ooh. And
or
got
was it
in the
a Ferrari?
Car. It was one of those. I know it was red. I remember it was red.
Yeah, it was red.
And got into the car and everything, and we sped off and everything. But that was the story I had with the thing in the bathroom, because a lot of things have happened
so,
in the bathroom with me.
Yeah.
I want to know.
Oh my God.
I wanted to name. I
love
want,
that
I want
story,
to,
and
I
you'll
to,
tell me that name
yeah,
later.
Because
it's killing me. Oh wow! So which Damon Brothers was it that got in the fight with?
It was the older one.
Keenan.
Is that the oldest one?
The really tall
Keenan,
one.
Keenan, and then it was Damon.
Yeah,
there was the two.
The two of them.
Yeah, it was two of them.
Well, so was that weird to see Sam getting in an argument with Damon and Keenan, and then you get in the car with Sam?
Well, I was like,
must have been like, what the fuck, well, Richard Pryor Jr.
Well, because Sam like took me under his wing, so I was always around him, hanging around him. You know, because I used to like. I remember one time we, you know, we'd do coke and stuff, and I remember one time I said, well, let me get the coke this time, and I bought coke, and it was like this little bag, and Sam's like, put that away.
This is not, put your door yeah, die cocaine that,
that's
away.
Not gonna, no, it's not going to do anything. He was like, he was protecting me because I went through a period where I was kind of like, you know, staying out of my car and all that kind of stuff, and he kind of like took me on the wing, and that's why I was up at that house, because I would stay up there. And sleep in one of the rooms.
Right.
And everything during the time.
Right. Wow.
Because I was a door guy and stuff here. And Mitzi, you know, Mitzi in that high voice. And her, Richard, yeah.
Right.
Don't follow the footsteps of your father. You know,
so don't follow the footsteps. That's not a.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's an interesting story. The Dame, you know, but here's the thing that I have questions.
Okay.
I, even though Damon and Keenan would perform here a lot, I don't ever remember them just hanging out together.
Yeah, I didn't say they were just hanging out.
He said they were in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they weren't just hanging out. Damon didn't perform, but Keenan did.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then the other person who I can't mention was here with them. And that's how the thing started. So Sam heard it with all the, you know, the faggots and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, wait a minute, he was trying to protect me.
Could you Morse code out some first initials on the table?
Was there a comment?
There
I
was.
I will tell you that their first initial was an A.
Was the last one an
Shut
S?
Up.
No!
It was an A.
What was Andrew Dice Clay doing in the Comedy Store bathroom?
Oh, my God.
I have a, and I think I've told this before, but my favorite Richard Pryor story, because to be 21 years old and to see Richard Pryor on stage here at the Comedy Store was an amazing thing. And I remember my dad worked in a movie theater. He was a projectionist, and they did, was it, not Live on Live on Sunset?
Sunset.
Yeah, and in the theater.
We're live in concert.
Right. And I saw that as a kid when my dad was working in a movie theater, and then to be 21 years old here at the Comedy Store and to see your father come in on a Tuesday night and do a set and eat the biggest fucking turd. Bomb.
Yeah.
Bomb. Like, you were like, you know, as a young person, like, what the fuck? What? This is Richard Pryor, right? And then he would come on Wednesday, and it'd be, you know, not that great, but better than Tuesday. And then he'd come on Thursday, same material. Thursday, some laughs, and then fucking Friday. But to see, as a young comedian, to see Pryor work and to mold his bits was one of the most amazing lessons in comedy that I ever had. Yeah, it was a really cool thing. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah, so many great memories.
Second Real
story,
quick,
yeah.
Jason Marino did have a conspiracy and stated very clearly that he thinks that story was stolen.
You do?
I didn't say that.
Jason does?
Jason
Why
that.
Does he think it's stolen?
Well, then he redacted his comment and said that actually the coke would mess up the fact that it was stolen, so it's not the story he was thinking of, possibly. So he retracted his conspiracy statement.
Yeah,
but
if
you know
those other people stole the story
very
from
good
Richard,
you could always just throw the coke in there as a little deterrent. So
very good. That's a very good point.
I don't pass judgment. I'm a good Christian.
Because
but I've never had problems performing on coke. So.
But you were the worker bee in that situation.
Yeah.
So.
But I'm even on the other end, I've really never had a problem with that, because like my thing was like, even when I was doing it, like when you're finished and everything, I got to watch some porn before I can go to sleep.
Really? Mm.
I've known people that...
Yeah.
Jimmy Schubert told us that he was...
Yeah.
I forgot the name for it. It wasn't Whiskey Dick, because that was the opposite.
Yeah.
Coke cock or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Could you do that again one more time also? Okay.
Rock hard!
Okay. All right, Willie, your second story.
Man, I don't...
Top that.
I know. Well, he was in the Comedy Store bathroom giving a blowjob.
This is the story how I found out that Janet Jackson is a fan of Willie Mack. So,
really?
Oh.
There she goes again. She's starting to read.
First sentence in.
All right.
So, College Hill wasn't just BT's version of Real World. We were the very first black reality show.
Did it also help that you are, Willie is cut, and you have your shirt off a lot in that show?
I did.
Yeah.
Jessica has screenshots of them printed out by her nightstand.
Tell us more, Jessica.
You and Preacher Lawson.
So he's cut.
I want to
see
him right
there.
I'm talking, you look at Willie's arms and you're like, and we were doing this arm wrestling outside one day on the patio here at the Comedy Store, and I just felt his muscle, and it's like, it is rock hard.
Hashtag me too, Willie. I mean, they think it's okay because they have a vagina. It's not.
Mid arm wrestle. Like, that's not distracting. I know.
I did ask you.
Yeah, you did ask me. I'm not saying I'm not saying I had a problem with it. But so she asked me if I wanted to do the show, College Hill, 3 months in the Virgin Islands.
How old were you then?
I was 22.
Wow.
22? Wow. Yeah.
Real quick, Leah just said, prove it.
Prove that you're cut.
That I'm cut?
Yeah. If you prove that you are, I'll prove that I ain't.
Let's do it right now. Right fucking now. You go first, Artie's, Austin.
Me first. You want the eye candy first.
I mean, I could. Will they even be able to see my six pack?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes, they yes, will. Yes. Yes.
Oh, no way. There you go, Leah. No way. Okay.
Thank you, Leah.
Oh,
oh wow. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
pretty.
I see four. I
now
see
let's
four.
Let's do it, Austin. Right.
Now, I don't want to put you to shame. But I have a whole lot more here to work with, so.
Oh my God. Woo!
Woo! Woo! Oh. My dick throbbed a little bit just now.
Personal show for everyone. Thank you.
Wow. Oh my,
I could
wow.
never do that.
You might need a training bra.
If you've got one, okay. I'll take the support.
How'd you know?
But thank you for sacrificing yourself for that because it was yeah. worth it.
Okay. It was worth it.
Hashtag okay. me too.
So you're in the Virgin Islands,
in
right?
the Virgin Islands. We get done filming. So we're now doing all these like press junkets after the show is starting to air. And I was doing the BET Awards and all this. So I did this. This is when Boost Mobile was like the shit at the moment. And I was interviewing Jermaine Dupri. Now, Jermaine Dupri and Janet Jackson at right. the time were right. together. So Jermaine was like, "Who asked who I was, told him who I was, blah, blah, blah. And he started inviting me to the parties because I was doing all the like Boost Mobile stuff for BET. And it was like, oh, well, I'm doing a party at, there's this colorful building right there off of San Vicente and Santa Monica. So that's the first time I was able to meet Janet Jackson.
Look, the art place? It's green and blue.
It's Pacific.
Arts
yeah.
Design
oh, yeah,
Center.
Yeah,
yes.
Art
yeah,
Design
yeah,
Center.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they throw,
oh, yeah, yeah.
So they throw parties there.
Right.
Yeah, so I was at a party there, and Jermaine Dupri was DJing. First of all, he gets like $100,000 to DJ, and it's like the amount of money he makes for like just the like 30 minutes that he'll DJ is ridiculous. Oh. Anyways, so I'm there, and I see Janet Jackson, and Janet Jackson is like by herself, and she had these, I wanted to go take a picture with her. And her handlers come out of like nowhere because she looked like she was by herself, but she's never by herself. So I asked Janet Jackson if I could take a picture with her. And she was like, she was about to say, yeah, her handlers come. She's like, oh, Janet's not taking pictures, whatever. Like, they kind of like scoot me away. And Janet was like, no, that's Willie Mack. I'll take a picture with Willie Mack.
Oh, wow.
So I'm in complete awe at this moment. But apparently she watched College Hill with Jermaine Dupri.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, that's
oh,
how
look
I found
at her.
Out.
She look.
That's how I found out that she's
Was this pre the Super Bowl nipple slip or
ooh,
after?
Ooh.
After?
That was after. After. That'd have to be
after. Yeah.
It'd have to be.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't remember.
If it was 08.
Yeah.
Because, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was after because yeah. that was, my son was like 14 years old then. So, yeah, it was definitely, the nipple thing was before that.
Yeah. yeah.
Way before yeah. that, yeah.
Okay, that's weird that you would put that in chronological order. Your son?
Nipplegate, my son came before that.
No, reason,
weird,
no,
weird.
No, the reason why is because I had a Super Bowl party for him and his kids, they were in eighth grade.
Uh-huh.
And his friends were over, and the halftime show was that, was Janet Jackson and Justin Timberlake.
Oh, yeah.
And when it happened, his friends and him just went crazy.
Like in what way?
Excited.
Like, oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I remember it.
So did you have any other celebrity fans?
Lil Jon, but he never told this to me. So I was at Fox Hills Mall, Culver City, same year, 2008. And I was walking, and this big dude, he was his bodyguard, comes up to me and was like, hey, you Willie Mack? I didn't know who he was. I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, Lil Jon watches you in his tour bus all the time, College Hill. And I also met Beyonce, kind of the similar. I was presenting one of the awards at BET Awards. And
now you're really stretching. Beyonce? Beyonce.
This isn't, he doesn't even have to lie about this part. Yeah. This is just detail.
I know.
Dang.
Jesus.
See, I told you. See, Nelly.
Next time when I offer you a drink, take it. I'm tight over here to my left.
So the short version of that, I was presenting at the BET Awards, uh-huh. and I ran into her in backstage, and we just had that little brief, like, oh, hey. She's like, oh, watch your show.
All right, so if you, I hate to be this person. Uh-huh. If you were around Janet Jackson or Beyonce, who would you more be jazzed about? That's so such Ooh. A terrible question.
Yeah,
that is
negative
good.
Nelly.
That is really
I know,
good.
Yeah, but it's a good question. Yeah,
definitely Janet Jackson.
Really?
Really?
Because I mean, I see all the hype about Beyonce, but Janet Jackson has been one. She's been doing this for decades. Like low key by. I mean, yeah, she had the brothers or whatever, but by herself, TV. Killed it, movies and just
would she without her brothers though? Whereas Beyonce seems to be a little bit
no.
more.
Would she have
made.
Done that without Destiny Child?
Beyonce. I don't know, but still, that's not her siblings yeah. like helping her out. That's already been.
Did you ever see the movie
years.
I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker?
Yeah.
That's Beyonce. You know the one that these eyes.
Yeah.
They aren't really green. That's
yeah.
Beyonce.
Yeah.
Take it off. She looks like a crack whore. I'm sure.
How dare you?
She looks like Nathan Lane in Austin Powers 3.
How dare you? How dare
So what was your question? So y'all made me feel like I chose the wrong. What I thought
no.
y'all's question was like, who would you prefer?
No, who oh. who would you find more like
intriguing? Like if like, I guess if you had to choose one or the yeah. other to meet, mm-hmm. if you had to choose one, which
oh.
one would you choose?
No, it'd still be Janet Jackson.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Beyonce
enough.
Just seems too untouchable. Janet still has this, like...
I will say, she does seem like she has more of a human quality.
She does.
Not like a larger-than-life.
Mm-hmm.
I could see that.
Yeah. I had a dream about Beyonce a few nights ago.
You did? Pray tell. Tell us.
She. I was at, like, a background thing, like,
uh-huh.
you know, just being an extra, eating the crafty
uh-huh.
and stuff, as background
uh-huh.
does, and she was there. And was like, oh, you're so cute. I can help you out, I think. And
you
I was
shut
like,
up.
I was like, I would love that, Beyonce. And she's like, we'll get together after the shoot. And I'm like, no, I need your number now, Beyonce. If you're going to help me out, I need to get it now. And she was like, no, it's fine. We'll get it. And I could tell, like, you know, she was
yeah.
brushing me off, but saying she'd help me.
That was really
and then
your
I woke
dream?
Up. I did, yeah. And I don't know. I don't often think of Beyonce, but.
Wow,
that
that's
weird.
Yeah.
That is some psychological drama right there that you're going
every
through.
Every night.
Yeah, okay.
Every night.
All right, well, that's two really good, solid, and totally different stories that we haven't heard before in any kind of way. So I love that about your stories, Willie.
Thank you.
Good stories. And now to your second story.
Here we go. Here's another one.
Okay.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay.
So as you know, I worked here at the Comedy Store, and... Sam Kennison was like my friend of mine and,
okay.
you know, took care of me and all this kind of stuff. And that's when he had a brother, Kevin.
Right.
And
Kevin also worked here.
Yeah,
at the,
everybody
yes.
was on like suicide watch with Kevin, you know, because
yeah.
he was always trying to take his life and everything. So one day after his parents left, his mom and his stepdad left and everything, we were up at Sam's house. And Sam's talking to me, and he's like, you know, Carl and I think you're hot. I'm like, what?
Carl LeBeau?
Yeah. And I'm like, what?
Oh what all right, this is totally true.
Wait.
Totally true.
I'm like, what are you talking about? And he said, I like to do anything that's bad. Would you fuck me? This is Sam Kennison. And I'm like, fuck you. What are you talking about? And he's like, yeah, would you fuck me? And the first thing out of my mouth was,
hell no.
Do you have any porn? And he's like, what do you need porn to do it? And I'm like, hell yeah, I need some porn. And so we watched some porn.
You know that Felicia actually slept with Sam Kennison?
No, I didn't. Go in the bedroom.
I thought when I invited you on, you'd tell like a heartwarming story about how your papa and you would hold each other in Peoria, Illinois, and you're all like, okay, so I'm sucking Sam Kennison's dick.
So
you thought it was gonna be like, well, me and Papa.
So yeah. So I end up fucking him.
Sam Kennison?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Sam Kennison. Where at?
At his house.
The b-hole, probably, I would guess.
In his butthole, is what I guess.
I guess.
Boy, is my face red.
It's hot in here.
Yeah. suddenly I'm sweating and clenching over here.
She's crying.
This is so funny because I totally believe you. That is hilarious.
Sam Kennison.
And where did this happen?
It was at his house.
At his house.
Where was his house?
Hollywood Hills, right here, yeah. Not far from me.
Is it the one that had the view? Like the view?
I don't remember.
His view was not great, probably.
I can't even imagine that even with some class A porn that you were able to fuck Sam Kennison. I'm sorry. because just how to get motivated, because he wasn't the most pleasant looking fella.
No.
That's why I'm crying over him.
Well, how did you get motivated for it?
I only slept with him. I didn't actually, there was no kissing or sex or anything. We just passed out in the same bed.
Boring.
But you also gotta understand, we're guys. Guys will have sex with a lot of interesting, like my baby mama, like 350, and she's I have my son's mom's a butch lesbian. Uh-huh. And like,
all
when
right,
people,
Willie, I see all the.
You lit up there.
Like, I was gonna say I might know somebody that's your type, Willie.
Who?
Continue.
And people will see us together, and they'd be like, "Well, Willie, you are, she is," and it's like,
you know,
you
them
can't stop.
Them little skinny dudes like them big women.
Yeah, easily. Oh, I have an internet question.
Okay. Thank you.
Jason Marino.
Yes.
And this seems crucial. What position were you in with Sam Kennison while you were banging?
It was the weaker one.
It was like the film Deliverance. I was in behind, and it was like he was squealing like a pig.
You shut up. I can't believe you just said that.
That was... My man.
What's the thing? What's the thing about the views don't reflect the comedy store or something?
Stories told here on our podcast do not reflect the comedy store. I should have said that earlier.
Yeah,
but
should've.
Sam Kennison did probably get banged by Richard Pryor Jr., so that's just facts.
Wow. That is a trip. Mm. That is interesting.
So you were having sex with him.
Uh-huh.
Right? So you were the...
Because I bet you get into it. Okay, I'm getting weird.
This podcast is really different than I thought it was going to be today.
Yeah, Leah said we're off the rails today somehow.
It was craziness during that time. Like it kills me now at the Comedy Store, and people are like, "Oh, we're gonna go over here and do this," and it's like, you guys have no idea how crazy it was here in the 80s.
Yeah.
I mean, it was banana cakes.
Everything was made of mirrors here. They're just now changing that. I could imagine.
Right, right. Mm.
So, it wasn't a threesome?
No, because he said that Carl said that
he was
hot.
Carl, me and Carl
and
said
so that made
you were
Sam hot. That Carl said that, and he was like, "I might need some of that."
I'm glad Carl's being left out of the story.
Sam said,
"No, Carl, no."
Yeah.
Sam said, "Break me off a piece of that Kit Kat bar." Next thing you know.
Okay, will you repeat the stories?
God. Yeah, absolutely. So for Willie's, we'll start with story one. His dad owns a bunch of churches, and lots of people expected him to preach, but his dad was also a heroin runner and drug dealer out in L.A., and he once drove to Oakland to maybe murder somebody, allegedly. God came to his dad while his dad was blazing some tree on a street, and the pastor took him to meet a choir girl. They did it. Willie's here. Story two, in his College Hill days, which was the first black reality show in 2008 when the Florida Gators were national champions, go Gators, he found out that nipple slipper Janet Jackson was a fan of Willie Mack, and this is when Boost Mobile was hot, just to give you a time frame. So he's at a Jermaine Dupri DJ set when he sees Janet, and he approaches her for a picture, but is quickly deterred by security. But Janet recognizes him from the show and says, "Bring that boy forward." And that's all his stories.
Okay.
So.
And then Richard Pryor Jr., and I can't wait to hear you tell these stories.
I know. Well, you know, they're pretty simple.
Okay.
He was working at the store, staying in his car and doing coke from under Sam Kennison's wing. He was in the former singles bathroom doing some blow, then blowing someone, and the guy called him the F word, faggot. And then up by the mansion that Mitzi owned, the Wayans brothers were driving by and being crazy, and Kennison starts acting crazy and being all chubby ninja doing stuff. And then they got in Sam's red Corvette and hauled ass into the night, and a lot of things have happened in the bathroom with Richard Pryor Jr., we found out. In his second story, he was working at the store, staying in his car and doing coke from under Sam Kennison's wing. Thank you.
Thank you.
Out of all the people you picked to go under their wing, Richard Pryor.
Well, that's where he hid under the wing, right, to do the coke. So yeah. No, then they were on suicide watch for Kevin Kennison, and Carl LeBeau said that Richard Pryor Jr. was hot. And that really got Sam Kennison's gears a-turning, and he said, Richard Pryor, bend me over and sex me right now good. And so they ended up doing it, Deliverance style, and Sam's squealing like piggies. And they banged at his house with the view.
Oh, my gosh.
And I imagine it smelled terrible, probably. I don't know.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. I could just imagine that that whole situation was probably an awful stench.
Okay. That is two of the most fucked up stories, Richard Pryor Jr. So let's move on.
Sweet and innocent.
It's my book about my papa. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. Let's start with the Willie Mack story. You know, here's the thing about I am stuck on the heroin. It seems like it's the wrong time frame.
But it would have been if his dad and his mom got together in 81. Uh-huh. That means prior to 81 is when he was running heroin.
Right,
so that's
right.
More of the time frame if you're thinking it would have been late 70s, early 80s, right?
But I remember being, because I am a no spring chicken, and I kind of remember that era, and I just feel like that doesn't ring true to me. I think your father does own churches.
Mm-hmm.
I think... But that part of the story is a little...
And then again, why would he come on here and tell that? If you haven't even talked to your dad about it, why in the world would you think it'd be okay to let it out in the public?
Right.
Yeah, especially after your dad was like,
I didn't think about any of that before I told my stories.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
Oh, I know.
I hate to tell you we're live.
Oh, crap. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
You didn't know we were live?
No.
There was questions from audience members.
It wasn't clicking.
Yeah, it wasn't clicking when you said, and we did it deliverance style.
Now the rentals on Deliverance have gone up because people are like, Deliverance, let me watch that.
Also, something that bothered me about his first part of his story, his first story, is a lot of the names seemed, they remind me of cartoons. So you said, Preacher Hill, was it?
Pastor Hill.
Which reminds me of King of the Hill. And then you said Minerva,
yeah,
which reminds me of Minnie Garfield.
Mouse? Oh.
Because that was his girlfriend's name, the purple cat or whatever.
See, when he said, well,
those
that's
are total
sure
black names, though.
Yeah. It's like I have a grandma's name and great aunt's name, like names like that.
I know,
yeah,
but it was just three things
name.
That it was like weird, like, oh, that all like kind of fits into a cartoon. There was another thing, and it's slipping my mind at the moment that I was like, oh, that I think that's from a cartoon, too.
I don't know. I knew a Minerva, so.
Yeah.
Old lady at church used to kiss me.
All right, we're taking
up and down.
A vote. Does anybody want to vote on there? Has anyone made a decision out
for,
there?
On Willie's two
yeah,
stories?
Yeah.
Kia, who's been playing along and asking some silly questions about Richard Pryor Jr.'s dad, who we probably shouldn't go into. Kia. Well, Kia said, can I ask funny questions? And I was like, sure, whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's okay. Discretionary. So.
We're going to have discretion now.
Well, we're live. We didn't know that. Me and Richard Pryor Jr., we had no idea. So Kia thinks the first story is a lie. Didn't really clarify.
I agree. I just said that's a lie.
You think the first one's a lie?
I do think the first one is a lie, even though the Janet Jackson thing. But that would be great if the Janet Jackson one was a lie, and you're like talking about the what is it, Jermaine Dupri doing the DJing and all that, and why you're so angry that he gets to make money DJing. That was kind of a weird little aside.
It was. Well, but what if his dad actually uses his past now to preach about?
Yeah, and I've known a lot of pastors that have checkered past that, you know, overcome
they're
that.
They're like,
and
yeah, I didn't come from the best of things. I sinned.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a very typical church pastor story. But the second one.
I didn't need to see you say you sinned, Jessica. Okay, yes.
No, Jessica doesn't sin. not since she banged her cousin anyway. That was like way against the Bible, but.
I might have been more
the second
the
story had.
By
a
the way, Bible doesn't specifically say you shouldn't have sex with your cousin.
It doesn't.
No, I don't think so.
No. In the Baptist one, it does. But anyway, the second story has a lot of like little details, like names and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And in the past, that's been like a deterrent to like use details to cover up the lie. But that bit me in the ass against old Bob Golub on Monday.
Right.
Because I thought wavy gravy, I was like, anybody's going to just throw wavy gravy in a story that's got to be real. And it was.
Yeah.
Not so.
Right. So let's take a vote right now. And you're voting too.
Oh, also Leah. And Leah says the second one is fake. Her gut says it's.
Oh, really? Yeah. All right. So what is your vote, Austin?
My vote is that I want the second one to be real so bad, but the church in me is probably saying the first one is probably a little bit more accurate. So I don't know. Wait, actually. I don't know, Jessica, can you go?
I can go, I guess. I almost wanted to go with Leah, but then I remember that Leah's never right.
Oh, but actually, I meant to say that. She thinks the first one is not true, and then she prefaced it by saying, I'm going to go with the second one because of that.
So she's saying the second one is not true.
She thinks the first one's not true, but because she's always wrong, she said she's going to go with the second one not being
true. Oh, God, okay.
And she always is wrong, so, you know.
I'm going to go with the first one. Only because my gut, I just pictured cartoons when he was talking. These names, these references is what I saw.
Uh-huh.
And it just seemed like you were pulling some things together. And I'm sure your dad maybe had a checkered past, but if you haven't even talked to him about it, why would he want that to go public? So I'm going to say that that's a lie.
Hmm. Yeah, because as we were talking, and then you said... that people that sometimes have had a checkered past use that to preach, and he was like, yeah, my dad, yeah. But then when he said the picture thing, your dad was like, oh, your dad got super sensitive earlier when you said someone had seen the picture that you had put up for the show about your dad, like, no, I don't do that anymore. So that's where I'm like, I think the first story is a lie.
Is your dad still living?
Yeah, he's still living.
Yeah.
And he's not going to beat your ass for, like, telling everybody that he was a drug dealer and
stuff. I don't
think
any of the church members will watch this.
You never know, man.
But they might. They might.
Yeah,
you're right.
Yeah. So I think your first story is a lie. What do you think?
I think the thing with the five churches thing has kind of got to me because I know a lot of black churches and everything, so I know how churches are. I mean, there are people that do have other churches, but he didn't say, like, his dad was, like, the senior pastor. Mm-hmm. And so that was something that affected me, because if you're a pastor, you're a pastor of a church. If you're over other churches, you may be the senior pastor, or you're known as the bishop.
The bishop, right.
So,
like the Church of Zion in Los Angeles that meets in South L.A., they have one guy that comes, he goes to all, like, five different churches every other weekend, but then one weekend they all meet at the big church.
So with me saying that, I listened to his second story, there wasn't as much detail. So when there wasn't as much detail, that kind of, like, I mean, it holds true because there's not
all
as much.
All we knew was that Boost Mobile was big.
Yeah. So, I hate being wrong, but I'm going to say even though I have my doubts, I'm going to say the first one is true because I know pastors and I know things that they've gone through, and they use that as a testimony as far as things that they have endured in their lives and showing people how you can come out of darkness and the things that you've gone through.
One more quick thing. The time frame between when your dad's smoking that joint and the pastor rolls up and goes to the church and meet your mom, that was like all in the same day?
No.
Or that was over time.
Yeah, he said it was time.
I kind of feel like maybe this is a story that happened to one of your uncles, and your dad was always kind of a pastor, and so I feel like there are parts of that story true, but I think that the lie is in the first story.
Okay.
All right, so who says the first story is a lie?
I'm siding with...
All right. So which story was the lie?
First story was a lie.
Oh!
But
yeah.
My mom's name is Minerva. Okay. He did have a checkered past. And
oh, that was good.
Pastor Hill? Is there a Pastor Hill? That's real?
That was his mentor, his pastor mentor.
There was another thing. I can't remember what you said, but I wish I could remember.
Wow, that was good.
So let's move on from the Christian pastor stories and
talk about your stories. I have so many questions.
Is he playing it up that he was like, oh, no, I released this information? But if it was not true, he's like really just playing it up for us.
But he did that for both stories. Both stories were
But it wasn't until the end he was like, oh, my God, this is live.
I don't think he would.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I'm going to say I kind of feel like the first story is true because he wouldn't give the name of the person that he was in the bathroom with.
Right.
And I think for him to say that
But Kinnison's passed.
Yeah, but Carl LeBeau is still sticking around. He's
and
still
he said
around.
He wouldn't say anything about Carl LeBeau other than
Yeah, but
he
still.
Thinks he's hot.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to say the first story is true and the second story I hope is not. But that's weird about the porn, that he asked for porn. That was a weird little aside.
Well, he just needed it to get going.
No, I totally understand
As
that.
Someone that has done drugs in the past, and meth is great, and you'll do a lot of things for meth. If this guy is supplying you with a lot of cocaine, I think you might toy with the idea. Why not? Right? I think maybe he slept with Kinnison.
Ditto.
And I think the first one is a lie.
Ditto.
What do you think over there, Willie Mack?
I definitely think the second story was a lie. My reason is because I know he's done way too many interviews to believe that he didn't know that this was really live. He even prefaced the beginning as
You're
like,
right.
I do a lot of interviews. So it's like, you know when we even said it at the beginning that this was, and he heard mine and talked at these questions from Leah. So... He gave too many disclaimers for me for the second one, so the second one is a lie.
I agree, too. And the first one we told, the first one, he was very like, and then to go from like, I don't know, there was this guy, I'll tap you out the initials later, and then I was delivered styling Kinnison. I think that's why I think the second story is a lie. Austin?
I think the second story is true because I kind of think that... what's his face? Jason might have been on to something when he said that maybe that was a borrowed story about the blowing somebody in the bathroom. Because maybe that's why I don't want to give the name, because the name that came to mind was the person whose story
that
actually was.
Why would I borrow a story? I was here in the early 80s.
Well, you know, there's lots of them to go around. I don't know. But, you know, it's. Seems
so. You think the second story is true?
I'm going out on a limb with you. I'm with you.
You think the second story is true?
Yeah, I'm going out on a limb.
Yep,
I think the first one's a lie.
Bending right over Sam Kinnison style, and we're going to take this result.
Here's the thing, because when the time that I did sleep with Kinnison, and he hit on me, and I was all like, and he was like, all right. You know, it's like one of those guys that just hits, you know, hits on everybody because
yeah, but think
one
if he
out
really
of 100 will
net.
Say,
the one,
yeah.
The one thing we know is an absolute truth is that Kinnison took him under his wing.
That's,
we know that is an absolute truth. That was in both stories. It has to be true, right? If he really looks up to this guy and it's his mentor.
All right,
I'm changing mine because he probably is just trying to make fun of his mentor and say he banged him in the butthole, but.
I don't know if. First of all, you guys understand.
That seems like a secret.
If Kinnison took you under his wing, it wasn't a good thing, right? You guys understand that, right? Like, it wasn't a great thing, right? Because he wasn't the nicest guy all the time, and he was giving you cocaine. I'm going to stick with my first story. The first story is...
Okay.
Do you think the first story is true?
I think the first story is true.
Yes.
Yeah, I think I'm switching mine to that because I think you'd keep that secret, wouldn't you? I mean, maybe that's the Baptist in me that you'd keep it secret.
Just swap then.
Fine.
Fine.
All right. You bang Kennison in the
So you're the
I'm a lone ranger.
You're the lone ranger.
Sitting up here with my shotgun.
Jason said no, no deliverance.
Okay, Jason. What's the lie?
The lie is the first story.
Oh.
No.
No. Oh man. Deliverance happened. So that's where Sam Kennison coined that famous scream at.
Although there were aspects of the first story that was true because there was the arguing, the fighting thing. That actually really did happen. But the whole thing with the bathroom and all that, that was made up.
I love you.
But, yeah.
I knew I should have went with my gut. I could smell the story. That's why I knew it was real.
Wow.
Oh, you guys have to buy this book because if there's more stories in there like that.
Oh, that's in the book, too.
Yeah.
Is that in the book?
Are you serious?
Yes.
Yeah? Yeah. Put your book. Let's.
I was going to find the story for you.
Okay. Okay. With more detail.
There's a scratch and sniff in there, too.
There's a scratch and sniff.
Wow. You guys have been excellent, excellent guests. And Richard, where can people find your book once again?
They can find my book on inapriorlife.com, or they can check out there's a link for Amazon. Amazon carries the book. Or you can go to bearmannermedia.com, who is the publishers of the book.
Great. And are you on Twitter and any kind of social media?
I'm on Twitter, Facebook. I'm on all that crap. I'm under Richard Pryor Jr. Check me out, or the Richard Pryor Jr. fan page.
You know, the one thing I did want to ask, did you and your sister, Rain Pryor, do comedy around the same time, started at around the same time?
No, I started actually first, and then I stopped, and then she picked it up again. Now she's not really doing it any longer. But we do a lot of performing and singing and shows and stuff like that. So we're trying to work on something.
Oh, wonderful.
Together, actually.
Always nice. A very sweet lady, your sister.
Thank you.
Thank very
you.
Sweet. And also yourself.
Thank you.
I didn't know those hijinks were going on.
I love it.
And Willie Mack, where can people follow you and what do you have coming up?
Follow me on all the social medias, Willie Mack, WILLIEMACC. I got. I got a lot of comedy festivals coming up, but they'll see all that on my Instagram. So, and nice. My website, willymack.com.
And congratulations to all the great things that are coming your way.
Thank you so much.
You're very, very welcome. And Austin, where can people follow you?
I'm the Austin Walker across the board on everything. But please keep up with our Twitter, which is @liars_club, and our Instagram, liarsclub1, where we put up all of our fun videos. And you might see a couple of shirtless dudes on there in the next couple of days. I don't know. If you're into that sort of thing, Leah, pay attention. And
wonderful.
Our YouTube, of course.
Yes, wonderful. And
we found the story. Just okay, Felicia, narrate a little passage of it. Just narrate a small little tasting of what happened.
Please. We have to actually find out which one is the story.
The juiciest passage you can find, and that's no.
Let me find the best part.
All right, but until he finds the best part, my name is Felicia Michaels, and you can follow me all across the board at Felicia. I'm hoping he doesn't find it. At Felicia Michaels, and we just want to say thank you so much for giving your support to us. Thank you, Leah, for coming and watching the show. And
Jason, wasn't it Jason on there today
yes.
too?
Yes,
Jason, Leah, Kia, Loek, all you guys.
Oh my God,
you're the man. And women.
It's it.
There it is. Okay. And now a special narration by Felicia Michaels.
Okay. I was flummoxed. I sat there contemplating sex with Sam. Finally, I said, "Do you have any porn?" "What the fuck, man? You need porn to fuck me."
He said that.
Hey. That's really a bombshell was released on the Liars Club.
I feel
podcast.
Like we've had a very emotional Liars Club. Go ahead.
Oh my
Believe
gosh.
Me, it's not my proudest moment.
Oh, I love it. But the best part is owning up to the crap we did back in the day and laughing at it now.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Of course.
It's
of course.
Well, if you can top that, I want to hear it.
She can't.
I probably can't. But I never got to sleep with a famous person, Kennison. Follow me at JessWellington2 on everything. You guys check out our YouTube. We're at the Liars Club on YouTube. Check out the Comedy Store's YouTube. We're doing a lot of things on there and some behind the scenes on our personal page. So check that out. Leave us a review, subscribe, all that good stuff. And you can be live.
Hey.